This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. And I am so excited today because we're taking an imaginary trip to the Okanagan.
That's right, an imaginary trip. We're headed to Penticton.
Yes.
And our guide is Rocky Sethi.
Rocky Sethi, big fan of Rocky. He is right now the managing director of Strike Group. When we had him on last time, he was at Adara. But he's got a lengthy career in the real estate industry in Vancouver, from working as an agent to working with some of the best developers in the region, really. And now heading up Strike Group.
Heading up Strike Group, as he said, he's come full circle. He's back on his own. This is his company, or his family's company. I'm not sure exactly whose company it is, but it's his. So he's back on his own, and it's exciting to see because he's a great guy in this. This is an amazing project in Penticton, but the conversation obviously spans a lot more than just, hey, tell us about a project in Penticton. We talk about BC politics, we talk about BC regions, we talk about the market, we talk about where we're at. It's a great, far-reaching conversation.
Is this the best opportunity that buyers have right now? That's another question that comes up, you know, and that's based on actually a Rob Carrick article, I think, that came out this morning.
It was, yeah. Rob Carrick calls the moment a generational opportunity, which I've never seen him speak highly of real estate. So that was interesting. Then we had the inflation numbers also this morning. This is Tuesday, we should say.
Tuesday, August 20th.
Tuesday, August 20th, we're at 2.5%, the lowest inflation print since sometime in 2021, I think. It does feel like there's change in the air. Let's just put it that way. We're in the doldrums of summer, but for how much longer, who knows? But I don't know. I'm feeling optimistic right now.
Yeah, I tend to feel the same way. And I'm kind of, talking with people just in the last couple of weeks, there seems to be an uptick in activity. It could be a busy fall. Tough to say. The verdict's still out.
But yeah, let's hear what Rocky has to say about it.
But not least, Matt, because we get this question all the time. How's the Kelowna market? So we don't only cover Penticton. We definitely cover Kelowna as well, and get Rocky's 2 cents on both markets. But before we get to that conversation with Rocky Sethi, Matt, we do have the MLA Newswire Weekly, a pre-sale update brought to you by the MLA Canada Advisory Team. And this week's headline is Pre-sale Roundup, Launched Projects, and Fall Expectations.
This is interesting. This is like a nice look back from summer 2024. So Adam, from January to July 2024, so the first half of the year, or the first 7 months of 2024, I should say, Metro Vancouver saw the launch of approximately 80 pre-sale multifamily projects. These projects brought over 7,000 new units to the market. But what about the absorption rate?
Yeah, so if I was to guess, I wouldn't have actually thought that the absorption rate would be as high as it was. So of the units released so far this year, so of the 7,000, there's been approximately 45% that have been absorbed, with just over 3,000 units sold.
So as a reference, last year, so 2023, which was not a banner year in Metro Vancouver, we experienced the launch of 104 pre-sale projects, which introduced over 13,000 units. And by the end of 2023, just over 6,000 of these units had been sold. So it reflects basically a similar absorption rate to what we're seeing in 2024 so far, like that mid 40% range.
Yeah. And so I guess the things to consider moving forward. So seasonal trends, I guess, is market trends have not been favorable in the first half of the year. And the summer was obviously very quiet, as we've talked about on this show. July and August were pretty slow months this year, especially in presale. Many developers have opted to hold off on launching new projects in the fall. But I mean, I always feel like it's a bit of a moving target there. You know, that might be the stance right now. But if we see an increase in activity, there might be a flurry of, you know, there might be some urgency for some projects to actually launch.
Well, yeah, I feel like if you're waiting and there's signs of optimism, you're bound to launch. And I feel like MLA kind of feels the same way. They are saying the delay is likely to result in a more active and competitive, and let's underline that, competitive fall season with multiple new project releases expected. MLA is predicting around 12 projects to launch within the next month, with a total unit count of just over 2,000. So in my mind, what that means is probably some interesting incentives with some interesting deposit structures and probably some smart buyers looking at presale.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I mean, we talk about presale, the market with Rocky today, and he's got some really great insights into the nuances, we'll call it, of the presale market right now. And careful about making generalizations about presale in general, because some projects are selling out very quickly.
Absolutely.
So if you enjoyed that headline, you can subscribe to the MLA Newswire, a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit MLACanada.com and subscribe now. And Matt, without further... Oh, we have one more thing.
We have one more thing, and it's called another sponsorship. This show is also sponsored by our real estate team, the Scalina real estate team, and we have a hot listing that we wanted to showcase this week.
Yeah, you know what? We've got a fantastic listing. This is one of my, like, when I think, I love downtown Vancouver. I love Yale Town specifically.
No one's going to question you on that.
No, I love Yale Town specifically. But then what I even love more than just Yale Town is going a little bit deeper and talking Marina Side and Beach Crescent, two of my favorite areas.
Don't get you started.
455 Beach Crescent, Unit 1602. This is Park West 1. A lot of people will be familiar with this Concord Pacific building. Really amazing value, overlooking George Wainborn Park. We are unobstructed, beautiful water views. Listed at 1495, so $1,495,000. That's for 1,161 square feet, two bed plus den, with, like I said, George Wainborn Park and False Creek views, and of course, resort-like amenities. This is it's like the aquatic center in your building. It's amazing. And a gym that you could actually quit your gym membership. It's not one of these small utility rooms. This is a full-scale gym.
This is, and the views, just to underline, the views from this unit are unbelievable. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com if you want to check it out. We have all our featured listings showcased at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And Adam, while you're there, click sell with us, because what happens when you click sell with us is you download the sold plan. This is our most downloaded guide of all time. Adam, tell us about the sold plan.
Yeah, Matt, the sold plan, which in this case stands for start on launch date. You pick the day that you want to launch your listing, and it gives you a step-by-step guide, basically, for how to get your home ready to sell for top dollar in the shortest amount of time. This is based on years and years of selling hundreds of homes, and it really is a fantastic guide. It's great if you're thinking about selling now, or if you're thinking about selling in a few years from now. It's something you'll want to keep on file. And again, it's a direct download over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click sell with us and sign up for your free guide.
Absolutely. And without further ado, let's talk to Rocky Sethi, this week's guest and a past guest fan favorite from the Strike Group.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more. And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
All right, so we're here with Rocky Sethi. He is the managing director of Strike Group, formerly at Adara, if I remember correctly. But welcome back, Rocky.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Adam.
Maybe, Rocky, if you can tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Like you said, Adam, I was with Adara up until July of last year. Adara Group of Companies is a builder here in Metro Vancouver. I was the chief operating officer there. We would carry anywhere between 4 and 6 projects at a time, really specialized in mass timber during my 6-year run there. We really leaned into the mass timber side of things, which is what a lot of people seem to remember me for there, and which was great. We kind of led the industry, led the province, and really led the country in number of units of mass timber housing that we delivered. We were on track to deliver 1,000 before I left, and now they're poised to do much more than that, which I think is absolutely fantastic. It was a great group of people. And then before that, I was a director with Anthem Properties, obviously not just a regional developer, but a developer in down in California, in Alberta, and then throughout BC. So a couple of really great companies over the last 11 years. And then that was my run here in Vancouver. And then before that, was doing some development out in the Okanagan, and in Alberta and Edmonton specifically with a group based out of Edmonton. So it's been a bit of a journey to get here, but it's been a fun one, and now it's come full circle. And before those companies, 16 years with them, I was on my own, and now back out on my own since last July.
So yeah, before we get to Strike Group, I was looking back. You know, you were on the show December 2022, November, yep. December 2022. And I was looking back at the transcript and you said something to the effect of we're entering a rough patch in the market and everyone at Adara is batting down the hatches. We're getting ready for, you know, a bit of a rough ride. Cut to a year and a half later, you went out on your own during that period where shortly thereafter you were on your own after talking about batting down the hatches. Can you talk about, you know, why now and what Strike Group is all about?
Yeah, great question. You know, I feel in our industry, many developers continue to batten down the hatches, you know, kind of tie up loose ends, even in markets. Whenever you can, you want to make sure that you're controlling costs and you're really, really, really digging into your product. And I remember that time we were tentatively optimistic, but we were definitely tentative about the market. So we were saying, okay, well, how do we kind of tuck in the corners? How do we really look at our unit types and make sure that it's affordable product? So that was kind of the feeling around that time and not knowing where the market was going to take us. And then, yeah, you're right. The jump into taking off with Strike Group and going out on my own. And that was really driven by the thought that there's an opportunity in the market for, I think our industry is a bit behind. Everybody says the construction industry is ripe for change, ripe for disruption, if you want to call it that. But I just think it's our opportunity at Strike Group to bring a more sophisticated lens with some of the larger developers that I've worked with in the past that we mentioned, Anthem and Adara and some others, and bring that sophisticated lens, but also that really granular, kind of gritty, smaller developer attitude to sites as they come up, because the landscape really is changing. And that's what we're trying to do, is bring that sophistication, that grittiness, and really go at sites from a different angle than others would.
I was just going to say, you said the market's changing. Like, is that where you've isolated kind of a gap in the market of where you're bringing that sophistication of the big players into that smaller space where it's maybe you know, not concrete tower of 400 units, but the smaller wood frame.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, and I think there's others that are doing it. There's others that are doing it really well, but there's not enough. And, you know, I think that's the opportunity that we're digging into ourselves.
Maybe Rocky, before we get to the talking about the market, I just, for people that don't understand mass timber, I mean, we're starting actually right now is a good time to drive around the city of Vancouver and see some mass timber projects that really explain exactly what it is. If you're specifically in kind of Mount Pleasant West or in and around Emily Carr, you'll see projects. But can you tell our listeners a little bit about mass timber and why you favor it?
Sure. I mean, mass timber is not anything new. It's newer to the province, but even to the province, there's projects going back a decade plus. But mass timber really is the next level of engineered wood products. It uses smaller wood fiber or wood content to make larger beams and create larger spans. So it's quite sustainable from that perspective. You're absolutely not taking down any old growth or anything that's the large diameter wood. You're talking about smaller wood that can be farmed. They do this really well in Europe, where they farm and they continuously farm stands of trees to come up with this wood product that they eventually make into mass timber. And then mass timber itself is a basket of products. It's things like its beams, its panels, it's all kinds of stuff that can make really beautiful, really sustainable buildings. And like you said, there's some really pretty. We have an amazing example, obviously, at the East Van corner of Clark and.
Clark and Great Northern Way.
Great Northern Way. Yeah, I mean, what an amazing example and a real landmark in our city that's going to create. And we have Brock Commons, which was everybody kind of touts. It was the tallest mass timber building in the entire world for a period of time. But it was a real kind of pilot pioneering project and pretty conservative. And then you've got this, almost outworldly type of building, which is going up at Great Northern Way there, the Nature's Path building. And it's just absolutely spectacular. And it's going to really, I think, solidify our region and our city's excellence in mass timber.
Can you talk, because the biggest thing, it's funny, and I feel like we get this question every other week or so, but the difference in sound transfer between wood construction or timber frame, I guess, and concrete buildings. People seem to still be very concerned with that. They always think of the old 70s and 80s buildings where, you can hear almost everything your neighbor's doing. But can you talk about maybe how that has changed?
Sure. Yeah. There is definitely sound attenuation you have to do with any construction form, even with concrete. You can't, nobody builds a concrete building and then just doesn't do any sound attenuation between suites. So each building form, whether it's concrete or traditional light wood frame, or now mass timber, which is in the middle, they all require some sound attenuation, some attention to how you deal with acoustics. And there's airborne noise, and then there's also impact noise. And dealing with both of those is separate as well. So the better builders, better developers pay attention to it in all forms. Going back to to Adira, we actually created a floor assembly that met or exceeded concrete built to code. So it was actually quieter. And to the point where we actually built a sound room in our presentation centers that allowed people to experience the difference between a traditional wood frame building and a mass timber building. People are blown away. So I think there's definitely ways to deal with it. And they're not that hard. They just take a little bit more of attention to detail.
Maybe switching gears, Rocky, how's the market?
I think we're poised for a bit of a change here going into the fall. I think there's people have been taking a breather. People have been very uncertain, and for good reason. Like, I think there's just been a lot of uncertainty for a period of time. Interest rates have obviously hurt a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And people have just been kind of sitting on their hands, sitting on their money. And I really, really don't believe them. I don't fault them for it. And now that there's, you guys are in the business, people can only delay important decisions for so long. They have a kid, they stick them in a closet. That kid gets too big. They really like a second bedroom, but they can't get a second bedroom. So they'll bite the bullet and they'll buy a one bedroom and den. And upwards and downwards from that kind of decision-making chain. So I think we're getting to the point where people are very uncomfortable with the status quo and they're going to start to make decisions. And of course, that is against a backdrop of interest rates now, you know, coming back down to earth in some ways. I guess depends on what your original rate was, but you know, a sub 4.8% mortgage rate is pretty good, all things considered. And then combine that, the last thing there is, I think people are really sensing a lack of inventory out there. And I don't think that's going to change. So you've got all these things that are kind of intersecting one another. And I think we're poised for a really robust back half of this year and 2025.
Yeah, before we went live, I mentioned there was just a Globe and Mail, Rob Carrick from the Globe and Mail, talking about this being a generational opportunity for Canadian homebuyers. And he's not one, at least traditionally, to be celebrating real estate, it seems. So we're in an interesting moment where, you know, at least in the city, it seems like we've come off months of pretty slow sales, inventory increasing, but there does feel like there's kind of this slight movement happening where there's a bit of a shift in the air, it feels like, at least to me.
Yeah, well, you guys would see it firsthand. You guys are on the front line. I mean, for me, we've seen it in sales centers, both our own and also speaking to industry peers. There's been a increased traffic in sales centers. Some projects have experienced full sellouts or definitely meeting their sales targets in a quite quick tempo. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I'm not here to overheat the market. I don't think that's healthy for anybody. But I do think we need to get people into homes and we need to get homes under construction. And the way you do that is to start signing some contracts. So I hope that we're in a upwards trending cycle of people getting back out into the real estate market and making smart decisions, not overstepping themselves and not taking wild bets on the market, but saying, okay, well, I feel good about the market. I feel good about the economy. I feel good about my job. And I know where what my family needs are. And I'm going to make that decision accordingly.
Rocky, your latest project is in the Okanagan in Penticton. Why operate in the Okanagan right now?
I've actually, I have a personal tie to the Okanagan. My daughter was born there 16 years ago. I love the Okanagan personally, but I've been kind of looking out that way for a while. It's a great place to live. Lifestyle is amazing. The opportunities for affordability and that balance of lifestyle is untouchable when you compare it to the Lower Mainland. And there's a real sustainable market there that didn't exist, I would say. When I was there 16 years ago, the market was really dependent on people selling out of, you know, I mean, really, it was Alberta at the time, but Alberta or Vancouver or wherever, and then moving to the Okanagan. Whereas I think now the Okanagan is a top choice for people. It's where people want to move. There's jobs, lifestyle is solidified. There's great restaurants. Lifestyle is all there. So I think as opposed to a second or third choice or people kind of downsizing and moving there, I think now people are making life choices to actually move to the Okanagan, and that's where we really saw the opportunity or the Innovation District in Penticton.
And before we get to the Innovation District, like it is interesting, you know, we're talking a little bit about the market, but you've kind of launched the first phase over the last couple of months when the market has been a little tepid. Can you talk about kind of timing and why now?
Sure. We definitely had, like I said, immense faith in the buyers that were looking for product in the Okanagan. If we're speaking about the Okanagan specifically, there was, in particular, there was a real lack of quality product that had been built or come online in recent years. So, couple that with the fact that we have a site that's right across from an employment center. So, you know, without getting into specifics, I'll say the fact that there is employment in the area that was growing, there was a low vacancy rate, and this could be any community in BC that has similar factors. You had a net migration. It was one of the fastest growing regions in Canada over the last few years. All of these things really, I think are positive for the Okanagan and any other region that has this type of setup. And I think that's where our faith in launching into this market, the fundamentals is really what it is. The fundamentals were there, and really the market's responded in an absolutely incredible way.
Can we talk a little bit about the Innovation District? Because I mean, it's funny, like we've talked a lot about Kelowna on the show, and Penticton comes up, I feel like, more on like the top five places to watch list, you know, like this is the best investment. You know, over the last couple of years, Penticton always is on, seems to come up in that way. But, you know, Kelowna has the regional hospital, the university, all the things that a lot of guests in the past have pointed to. But like, can we dig into Penticton? Like what's exactly exciting and what's going on in that Innovation District?
I like the question. We can dig into it all day, yeah. Matt. I can see that. But I'll try to, that's a complex, not a complex question, but there's a lot to that question you just asked. And I would agree with you. Kelowna has tremendous fundamentals. And I believed in that Kelowna market for a long time. The hospital, the airport, the university, it's an amazing place. The challenge with Kelowna is that it's gotten so big and so fast. It's no longer what I call the quintessential Okanagan that a lot of people want to move to and be a part of. And, you know, whereas I think, you know, like you said, and a lot of the fundamentals that Kelowna has, Penticton has on a little bit smaller scale. And I'll use the first, the biggest example is the hospital. The reason we, to your question about why Innovation District, why launch now, is the hospital in Penticton, which is directly across the road from the Innovation District, is in the kind of the second or third phase of a $400 million expansion. And I run that parallel to Kelowna General Hospital, which when I was there, actually my house backed right onto the hospital. They started an $800 million expansion plan, and they built no housing. And that was 10, 12, 11 years ago. And the price of real estate in that immediate area, as you guys know, while real estate is local, it can also be hyper-local. And the values in that area, because we actually had an investment property in that area that which we bought for, get this, $245,000 with dirt. And we sold it. We'll tell you what we sold it for. But last year it was assessed for $1.1 million. That's 11 years. And that is two blocks from the hospital. So our property, the Innovation District, being right across from the hospital, being able to deliver housing in a market that has under 1.5% vacancy rate, income strong with the hospital workers across the road. To your point, why Penticton's kind of been on the radar, but people are not really talking about it that much, is a lack of really good product. And now you've got big developers, medium and larger developers looking at Penticton, taking positions in Penticton, buying land. We're one of them, but there's others. And they're looking at creating a pipeline of product, both condo and a lot of rental. And they're doing that with an eye to what the future is going to hold for Penticton. And we're really excited just to be a part of that.
What's the demographic like in Penticton? Like who's moving to Penticton?
Sure. They, just like all municipalities, they completed their housing needs assessment in 2023, early 2023. I shouldn't say like all municipalities. Some of them got dragged there kicking and screaming just a little while ago. But Penticton was ahead of the curve. They've got a really great council and staff that's very proactive. So they did their assessment. And two of the largest groups that are moving there, you know, it's no surprise. It's at the 55 plus range. But the bigger surprise was the 34 and less range. You've got a lot of people moving there. Remote work to the eye roll is still a thing. There's a lot of people who found a different way to work. There's nomadic workers, Zoomtown, whatever you want to call it. There are people that found a very different way to create their balance in life. And with the regional airport in Penticton, you can fly in and fly out of Vancouver or Penticton in each day, basically. So not that you fly each day, but you can travel back and forth with a lot more ease. So you've got that younger worker. And then of that, they broke it down further. And there's a large immigrant population that's actually moving to Penticton for affordability and quality of life as well. Lots of jobs, lots of service jobs, but also lots of interior health jobs, manufacturing, and everything else. So it really is, it's a mixed bag. but it's far more sustainable than previous, you know, the previous 5 or 10 or, you know, decades before.
Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting. Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakwin Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
A lot of people, when they think about the rental market in Penticton, they think short-term rentals. Is that the case, or is there a strong demand for longer-term rentals, and how's the vacancy rate?
Awesome question. Yeah, short-term rentals, won't get up on my soapbox, but they've been banned across the province, aside from the few exceptions, which we won't get into. And Penticton fell to that, despite the fact that they've hosted Ironman for decades, and now they've lost it, and a lot of it has to do with accommodation, speaking to tourism Penticton and Visit Penticton. But yeah, no, they did lose it. Economies like Kelowna and Penticton had a big transient population for good reason, with universities and tourist seasons kind of ebbing and flowing in different directions. It worked really, really well. But again, that's gone. But to your question on what's fueling the market for rental, speaking specifically to Innovation District, we've got a hospital across the road and a bunch of other services that are run by Interior Health out there that have employment of plus or minus 4,000 people. And there's rotational staff that come in for a week or a month at a time. And those people come in and they're definitely still looking for housing. So these aren't your traditional Airbnb people. These are people that are coming in town for employment. And as long as you can stay within that, within the rules of the non-Airbnb, non-short-term rentals, there's a tremendous demand there. And the vacancy rate is sub 1.5%. And the average new condo is hovering around a $3 per square foot rental rate. So based on the values that you can pick up an investment property there, the return is significantly better than Metro Vancouver.
Are you seeing investors come through the sales center? Like, are they back, or who's looking at Innovation District?
I have to say something is that everybody who buys a pre-sale is an investor of some kind. They're investing in their own future. They're investing for their kids. They're just an outright investor, and they just want an investment property and kind of build their retirement fund. So because nobody is a true home buyer. If you need a home, you need a home generally now, and you're going to go out to the pre-sale market, which is obviously that's what that market's there for. So we have had all kinds. I met a couple a few weeks ago where they both worked in the hospital and they had two sons. And they bought a 3-bedroom home for their two sons. They're going to rent out the third. They're going to get their sons into a unit. They can have a third bedroom for a rental as for income to offset the cost of the home for them. Now that's under, they bought that for under, I think it's mid-sixes for a 3-bedroom home across from a hospital. And they both have amazing jobs. They're both working for, the parents work for Interior Health, but the kids both work with a construction firm in town that's, you know, got work for years to come. So that could be seen as an investment, but it's an investment in themselves and their family. We have had the pure investment. We've had some local buyers who said, yep, I've had my home for a while and I want to buy a unit and I'm not sure if I'm ever going to move into it, but if I do, at least I have it. If I don't, I'm going to rent it out. We've had people from Vancouver say, yeah, the prices are far more affordable there, and with the captured audience of the hospital and the need for housing there, I see it as a long-term play, and eventually maybe 15, 20 years from now, they have their little slice of heaven and they can move into Penticton or sell and buy something else in the Okanagan. So it really is a mixed bag. And I've been thankful of that. The other interesting thing is we've sold, typically, as you guys know, your cheapest product goes first, your studios, your one bedrooms and your one bedrooms dens, and people just take that. Whereas we've sold right across the board, studios, ones, twos, and three-bedroom homes. Three-bedroom homes are generally the last ones to sell, but we've had people buy those homes because they are looking for something that the market is really lacking, which is affordably priced three-bedroom homes.
Can you talk a little bit about Kelowna? Because I know you know that market really well. Obviously, as we talked about, we saw a tremendous run in prices over the last decade or so in Kelowna. Very low vacancy rates, very high rents. Lots of things going for the city, and it seems to be now at a point where it has changed dramatically. Like if you speak to people that have lived there for a long period of time, they'll often say it's almost unrecognizable compared to what it used to be. Do you think we're kind of peak Kelowna, or do you think is it still a growth market in your mind? And what are your thoughts about Kelowna specifically and how the market is right now?
Sure. Another good question and a lot of nuance to the response, I guess, or should be nuance to the response. Kelowna is so diverse in and of itself. You know, you've got the downtown core. For those that know it, you've got the Lower Mission, which is the area around, or not Lower Mission, but the Pandozi area, which is around the hospital. You've got the Lower Mission, which is east of that. And then you've got the Upper Mission, which is, you know, large, more expensive view properties overlooking the lake. And that's just four regions across the lake. Then there's stuff out to the airport and everything else. So I think there's pockets of value out there. I think you just have to pay a lot more attention. And I think if you're looking at that market, work with a local realtor, spend some time out there yourself, really get to know where you want to put your money. But yeah, I think there's, you know, if it's a pure investment, know who you're going after. Like, are you going after a university student? Are you going after local workers? Are you looking to buy and with an eye to move in there in the future? Well, then maybe you want something that your baby's not going to cash flow, but covers most of the costs and is in a neighborhood you want to be in 5 or 10 years. So it really is a bit more of a, I was going to say scavenger hunt. It's not a scavenger hunt. You just have to be a bit more targeted in what you're doing. But yeah, if you want concrete towers in Kelowna, there's still a lot of those too, which I think is, it's great. It's the downtown is starting to mature for sure.
You know, Rocky, I know you're definitely not scared to tell people what you think. Got to ask about the tenancy rules and maybe just a general grade for the provincial government in terms of housing.
Oh man, I feel it's like a setup or something. Tenancy rules. I have a real challenge with them. I have a challenge with anything that stifles free market. I was a realtor 20 something years ago, and I sold pre-sales at the Eden by Boza in Yale Town. And I know some people that still have their units in that building. They still rent them out. You know, and it's not just our provincial government or our federal government, but I think there's a real lack of leadership in government across the spectrum. And, you know, I think we're in a spot where it's very difficult to, it's easy to make easy decisions, difficult to make difficult decisions. And I think we're not helping ourselves with the current tenancy rules. And I hope that post-election, that we have a change, whether it's with the current government or any other government that comes in. I hope that we do cooler heads prevail. We take a pause and we say, okay, well, look around and that's not working. So now what? Now let's have a nuanced conversation. I've been very vocal in saying the one size fits all solution does not fit anybody, absolutely anybody. I'm not grading anybody though, Matt. You're not.
Sounds like a D, but no, I'm just kidding. Okay, Rocky, so predictions on the market. We kind of talked a little bit about 2025 or potentially this fall. So Do we see the market pick up this fall, or is this more of a 2025 story in your mind?
Yeah, I think before, probably earlier in the summer, you know, I would have said 2025. I would have been hopeful for 2024. But as the inflation numbers come out, and saw this morning, as we'll see what kind of people come back out of summer. I mean, it's people's livelihoods that we're talking about here. People are investing a significant portion of what they own into real estate. So it's how they feel. But I do feel, so I'll maybe know earlier in September or mid-September, but we'll see how it goes. But I do think instead of 2025, I'm going to say that the back half of 2024 is going to be a lot of smart people out in the market making decisions, looking to where they can invest their money wisely, for sure. So I think that in my mind, the buying cycle got pulled up a bit for those people that are able to do so.
Do we see pre-sale and resale? Do we see both those markets improve at the same time? Or do you think the resale market will lead the charge and we'll see pre-sale follow suit? Or how do you think that plays out? Because right now it kind of feels like we're seeing a more balanced market, I would say, in the resale market. But at least in the city of Vancouver, where there are a lot of projects in one area, it seems like there's some real challenges in pre-sale for absorption. What are your thoughts on kind of the tail of the two markets?
Yeah, I mean, I think you answered the question yourself with respect to, you know, in Vancouver, where there's specific markets that are facing a bit of oversupply on presale, they're falling a bit flat. But, you know, there's a few examples of projects out in the Fraser Valley that basically is sold out. You know, there's one in North Delta that sold out with our partners at Key Marketing. They sold that one out, or largely. So I think it's developer sold out, but basically sold out in a matter of a few weeks. So I think, and North Delta is an undersupplied market. So I think there are definitely pockets that have some really good opportunity for pre-sales to do really well. And I think some other markets are going to be challenged. And then on the resale side, I don't know it as well as you guys do. I think that it is the tale of, you know, it's always the case, well-priced, well-maintained product is always going to sell. There's always a buyer for it on the resale side. And now hopefully with interest rates coming down a bit, people can make that jump and get into the home, whether it's a townhome, a condo, or whatever they need on the resale side.
And advice for buyers on the fence right now?
Really analyze, going back to everything, really analyze what it is that you're looking for. You have time. I don't say you have a lot of time, but you have time to be looking in the market right now. Get all your pre-approvals on your mortgage, know what your financial goals are and your future are. And, you know, the old saying, you know, just buy real estate and wait. I think there now is a time to be looking out there for sure. I wouldn't, if it was a friend of mine, let's say that way, I'd say get out there and start looking right now, like yesterday.
As a final question, Rocky, and I'm thinking specifically about the Innovation District, because it's a multi, for those who don't know the development, it's multiple buildings, right? And it's a phased development. Can you talk a little bit, like Adam and I used to, I feel like this was eons ago, we did kind of a investment show on here's certain things to look for. And one was, you know, look for master plan communities where it's marketed over a large number of years, get in early, and you can kind of reap the rewards of that marketing push and prices presumably going up as the development moves along. Can you talk a little bit about like the master plan community and Innovation District and where we're at and what that looks like in the next 3, 5, however many years?
Sure. Now, you described it really well, Matt. I think going back to where we started in the conversation, what Strike Group's trying to do is bring that sophistication and that lens of how to do development really well to not just to smaller markets, but also it's just in a more nuanced approach to just maybe smaller sites. Penticton Innovation District is not a small site. It's 10 acres. I mean, you hit it on the head. It is a master plan community. There'll be 13 buildings, 7 phases. We've launched the first building in the first phase, which is called Nicola. It's only 127 condos. We're already well underway on our sales. We'll do our public grand opening in September. So we've got 2 sales centers, one in Wally and one in Penticton. They're both amazing. I'd encourage anybody to come take a look at them. And what we really are doing is selling a community, selling a village. Ultimately, over time, the estimated build out is about 10 years. So, like you said, values will increase on site as we progress. That's just you've seen it at Olympic Village, Brewery District, River District. We've seen it time and time again, and so it shouldn't be a surprise to people. But it is, I think, it is new, obviously, for the Okanagan. The community overall will have 1,500 homes, various kinds. That'll be condo, rental, hotel, office space, retail, as well as some other uses. Seniors living. We've got some seniors living providers that are looking there as well. So over time, I think it will really be one of the best district style master plan communities in BC. And the reason for that is we will have a bit of everything. It'll feel like a really complete community. And definitely to your point, people who get in the first phase, first building, they have the luxury of now saying, oh, I'm going to keep that unit. I'm going to close on it. Maybe I'll refinance it, or I'll at least have easier entry into the second building, because it does. There is a wait list generally when we're selling pre-sale condos. We do work with buyers who bought in the past. So buyers that buy in the first building definitely have first crack at the next building. Or vice versa, maybe you want to sell your first unit and take that equity and move into the next building. There's that opportunity there as well. But yeah, it's definitely a great opportunity to get into a master plan community that'll be there for 10 years, take 10 years or so to build out. At the very early stages.
And Rocky, starting prices?
We have units. We still have a few units under 300 grand. We started at 280,000 for studios. Yeah.
I knew that, Rocky. I don't know if Adam knew that just by the look on his face.
and the thing that I'm actually really proud of is that we had two bedrooms starting in the high 400s, and we had three bedrooms starting in the low the mid 600s. I mean, to buy a three bedroom condo, and these are three good sized bedrooms, and they weren't shoeboxes. And I mean, I guess it depends on how big your shoebox, your idea of shoeboxes, but they were decently sized homes, and under 650 for a three bedroom. Now those are, I should know all my prices currently. The sales team will kill me, but you'll have to call them for the most up to date sale prices. But yeah, we still do have homes under 300, and we've got homes in every price bracket, 300s, 400s, and the opportunity is still there. And I think it's absolutely incredible. For people that want to buy right now, I think definitely the other thing is accessibility. You do not have to go to Penticton to see the project, which I think is a very unique thing with the fact that we have a Surrey-based presentation center, and you can get all the information there. You can see the model. You can get the booklets. You can see the touch screens. I think is a real big asset for us and for buyers. And then if they want to dig in further, they can get up to the Okanagan and see the full on-site presentation center, walk the dirt. And we have an incredible model up there that shows the entire 10-acre master plan, but also shows the hospital itself. You really get an idea of the size and magnitude of what we're developing there. And then before I leave before I forget, the idea of the district development, Matt, you said it really well, but it's also the development around hospitals. We've seen what happened around Surrey Memorial Hospital with the LARC group. We're seeing what's happening around the new St. Paul's Hospital. And like I said before, we saw kind of what happened around Kelowna General Hospital in terms of housing prices and people looking to locate, businesses looking to locate around there. It really does create a very, very vibrant place that people want to live in.
And just because I know somebody out there is wondering, deposit structure and estimated completion.
Sure. It is a total of 10% deposit structure, 5% within 30 days, 5% within the balance of 5% within 6 months. And then the estimated closing is late 2027. We'll start construction spring of next year.
Amazing. Rocky, we got this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
For sure.
This podcast is brought to you by Spark, the new development sales and marketing platform.
Adam, the stakes have never been higher for launching a condo project, and today's developers and brokerage teams need to leverage the best tools in order to hit their financing thresholds and to sell out their projects.
Spark is an all-in-one sales and marketing software that includes a comprehensive CRM, inventory management, email marketing, and digital contracts. These tools are custom-tailored to the pre-sale process to help you capture leads,
increase inventory yield, and transact contracts seamlessly.
And here's the best part, Adam. Spark's team is headquartered right here in Yale Town, and they have over 10 years of experience in helping BC-based developers and brokers bring their projects to market.
So if you're selling a new development, you need to check out Spark at spark.re/VREP. That's spark.re/VREP. And remember, Matt, you can't light the presale world on fire without a spark.
Okay, so question number one is a book that you've read recently.
I'm reading Contagious. It's a marketing book. I can't remember the name of the author. That's on my bedside. And I'm also reading How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, because I've got my son reading it and he's just eating it up, and it's incredible wisdom. So I'll leave you those two.
But about to be the most popular kid in school.
One new belief, behavior, or habit, and I think we probably asked you this back in 2022, so newer than that, a new belief, behavior, or habit that has improved your life?
I think since leaving the corporate world, it's asking questions, asking for help. I always had a lot of help around me. I had great people around me, but it's not being afraid to pick up the phone and reach out to your network and ask for help.
It's funny. Every time I don't reach out to my network, I regret not doing it. So that's a great one. It's always good to just soundboard ideas before you move forward. Question three, what have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
We're watching a new Game of Thrones.
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon. Yeah, that was pretty good. There's a couple movies that I was going to say something funny. I can't remember what they were, but don't watch. The House of Dragons, it's good. It's entertaining. I like it. It follows on a good theme.
And when you're commuting back and forth to the Okanagan, what tunes are you listening to currently? What's some music that you'd recommend?
Well, I listen to a ton of podcasts, and I got to say, your guys is on there, and that's not a pump. I really do. I listen to a ton of podcasts, and whether they're real estate focused or big politics now, like everything that's going on in the States. So I'll go with the Daily on which is a podcast. And then aside from that, music, I'm really all over the place. Last night I was watching the Netflix show on Bob Marley. I'm a big Bob Marley fan, so I do listen to that. Oh. But I'm all over the place on music.
Is that a documentary or is it like an actual show?
It's a documentary.
Documentary. Nice. Last question. Something that you've purchased for under $1,500 that's had a positive impact on your life?
A silly one. Just these new technical fabric pants. I think they're under like $150. And you guys know, you guys are sitting and getting up and down and going to meetings all the time. It's a game changer. Like I spent my whole life wearing suits, or my last 16 years of my life wearing suits, and wearing stuff that stretches a bit and pants that are a little bit more comfortable is a game changer.
It's pretty easy to drop $1,000 at Kit Mays.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks for taking the time, Rocky. How can people learn more about what you're up to, and of course, Strike Group?
Yeah, you can follow us. So Strike Group is strykegroup.com. Go there and you can register and be an insider on Strike. And then also please check out the Innovation District in Penticton and the Nicola building, which is Nikola. And there's only 127 condos. We're going to, our grand opening's next month. And come and check it out, whether you're in Surrey or in Penticton. I'm sure you'll blow you away with what we're offering.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for your time, Rocky. Really appreciate you coming back on.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
So there you have it, folks. Our discussion with Rocky Sethi, Managing Director over at the Strike Group.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Rocky. I follow the Okanagan market very aggressively myself. And I there's a few agents I have that I've worked with for a long time in the Okanagan, and I get their updates as well. And I call and check in. It's interesting to hear Rocky's take. And it's also interesting because Penticton, like he mentioned, has always been kind of notoriously undersupplied for products, especially for, you know, people that are end users and investors alike to get into that market. And those price points, you know, when you think about, you know, sub $300,000 to have a piece of Penticton, it just sounds incredible.
It does. I mean, it's hard not to think that's good value. Yeah, I love the idea. And, you know, you do see it time and time again. It's like, when you think about demand, it's like, well, demand's not in a certain area. It's like, well, is there actually supply? Like, is there anything to buy? That's the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a challenge in Penticton for a long time, as Rocky said. So this innovation district's really interesting. And it's I love that Rocky's out on his own and making things happen.
Yeah. And the other thing I should mention too, is I just had this conversation with some clients the other day, but it still is very frustrating for some buyers because, you know, the news story has been, oh, you know, inventory's doubled in the past 6 months. But the reality is for particular neighborhoods and specific types of product, there are still very few options for people. So it can be misleading to make any generalizations. And as Rocky's demonstrating, there's a real demand for, you know, for pre-sale if it's in an area where there's not a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe we'll leave it there for the day, Adam. But one thing I did want to highlight was VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is our website where all things real estate related live. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for things like the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer. VIP access to projects just like Rocky's Innovation District in Penticton. We definitely have the A-Kit and the opportunity there if you're interested. We also have stats, different types of stats going out before anyone else. Sales ratios where we dig into, or you can dig into, different neighborhoods and different price points. And of course, we also have tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still with the rest of us. Power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click buy with us and set up your own free PCS account. The PCS accounts are rolling in. I think people are really starting to get that this is a really great opportunity to be monitoring the market. And even if you're not planning on buying in 2024, it's really a great time to sign up now and get sold prices for the balance of the year and see what's happening in your area of interest. And you'll just be better equipped when the time comes.
Absolutely. That is the truth right there. If you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a shout at any time, 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And as always, we have that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week. And we're back next week with another excellent episode.
Take care. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
2000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.